If you have your Bibles, if you could turn please to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. If you haven't, I'll read. I'm reading from the NLT translation, so I'm happy for you just to listen if you want to. Matthew 9, verse 9, as Jesus was going down the road, he saw Matthew sitting at his tax collection booth. "Come, be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. And that night, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests, along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. The Pharisees were indignant. "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" they asked his disciples. When he heard this, Jesus replied, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices, for I have come to call sinners, not those who think they are already good enough." I'm sure the Lord will bless that scripture that we've taken from Matthew's Gospel. Friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can fully recommend it. He's a good friend to have. When the bishop was asked what he thought about sin, he said, "I'm opposed to it." When people ask me about having friendship with Jesus, I'm fully for it. Aristotle said, "We need friends like we need air to breathe." One of the sad things I read quite recently was a man who had been found dead in a cemetery. And when the police researched something of his background, they could find that he had no family or friends. And so some of the policemen came together to bury him and to give him a small service at the local crematorium. Can you imagine that? No friends, no family. For most of us, we do have friends, and we are so appreciative of that. One of the other things that I read, and you probably read it too this week in the paper, was of four care workers. And they had been taken to court because of ill treatment and willful neglect towards the residents of the care home where they were employed. They treated those residents as if they had no worth or value. And the judge, in his summing up, he said, "Instead of offering them kindness and friendship, they abused them." How sad. How sad. I think the Pharisees and the leaders that we've read about in our scripture reading were a little like that. They saw in certain people value and worth, but in others they were happy to write them off. No value, no worth. And in fact, we read together that they described these people as scum. And Jesus, one of the reasons that he was so opposed by these people was that he had made it a point of being the friend of the tax collector and sinner. Jesus was the exact opposite to those care workers and to the Pharisees and the other leaders of the Jewish community. And he was happy to be recognized and even called the friend of sinners. In the Bible, they tell me that there are 134 titles that Jesus has. Every one speaks something of his character. Many of those titles given to the Lord Jesus was given to him by God himself. And Paul, in one of his epistles, said that in terms of calling Jesus names, he has been given a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. But the title friend of sinners was given to him by his enemies. And they were trying to insult him by giving him that title. But in fact, they complimented him. And that title sums up in so many different ways what the Lord's ministry was all about. Someone has said that the whole plan of salvation was an act of friendship. When I was younger, a good friend who mentored me was a man called Jim Bathgate. Perhaps some of you remember him. And he had just been to a funeral one day. I was out with him in Pennycook, I think it was. We were handing out leaflets. And he spoke about this man that had died and was now buried, but the service that he had attended, all of the complimentary things as one does do at a funeral. And he said to me, "I wonder, John, what they're going to say at my funeral." And that was an interesting point. And I said, "Well, Jim, I'm sure that they'll compliment you too. You're a good man." He says, "Well, I hope perhaps there might be some nice things said about me." But he says, "I don't think anyone will ever call me a friend of the sinner." And yet that was the title that was given to Jesus. And why was he given that title? He was given it because he demonstrated that that's exactly what he was. There hasn't been a person ever born that Jesus does not value, that God does not love. Whether we're rich or poor, whether we're marginalized in society, whoever we are, Jesus values us. And he showed that so clearly when he was here upon earth. When we look at the life of Jesus and how he identified with people in the Gospels, we know how God feels toward this broken world that we live in. Jesus spent time with the down and out. He spent time with those who others wouldn't have any time for. He brought a healing touch to those who were suffering. He spoke words of kindness to those who were going through difficulties in their life. Even the little children that were brought to him, he had time for. Because Jesus valued everyone that he came into contact with. And we've read together how Matthew became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus met with Matthew. We don't know all of the circumstances that brought this coming together about. But Matthew's life was changed. Jesus invited him to follow him. Jesus saw in Matthew something that he sees in all of us, a potential should we hand over our lives to him. And Matthew heard the call of Jesus, and he accepted that invitation to follow him. And Matthew became one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was prepared to give up his old life and to step out into a new one. And that is what following Jesus is all about. When we become a Christian, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible speaks of us becoming new people, new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Matthew, we read, was converted. He changed. He left behind the old life as a tax collector, where he cheated people, and where he would exploit the vulnerable. And he stepped out into a new life. And he wanted to begin well. And so what do we read? He asked his friends if they would join him for a meal. He wanted to introduce them to Jesus. And his friends were, to say the least, a motley crew. They were themselves tax collectors, because these were the kinds of people that he had associated with. They were sinners the religious people would describe them as, because they were on the fringe of things. And so those were the people that Matthew had known. Those were the kind of people that Matthew had associated with. And so those were the kind of people that Matthew invited to his home that day. And he asked Jesus if Jesus would join with them. And Jesus and the disciples, we read, went to the home of Matthew. And there he sat, the Lord Jesus, with these people. And I'm sure that he would use the opportunity to share with them how they too could become his friend if they were prepared to follow him. But the religious people, the Pharisees, they are described in the Gospels as being, and those scribes and those other leaders of the Jewish community, they were very unhappy about this. And they said, how is it possible that if Jesus is a prophet and a teacher sent from God, that he does not recognize that these people who are meeting in the home of Matthew are sinners? If he can't see that for himself, he can't be who he claims to be. And it kind of blew their mind that the Lord Jesus would actually take time to share in a meal with those people. And they couldn't accept it. And then Jesus heard what they were saying. And so he came out with this statement that it's only the sick that need a doctor. If you're well, or you think you're well, then you don't need a physician. On another occasion, Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to call righteous people, but I came into this world to call the unrighteous. And Jesus spent so much time with people that the world had written off. And so that gives encouragement to those that want to go out as missionaries and serve God in other parts of the world. Some live in sacrificially in very difficult areas of the world. And they have a message that they can bring to these people. And it's based on the fact that Jesus before them went into a difficult, broken world with the good news that God loves them. I was reading earlier this morning about Nicodemus. And so it reminded me that not only did Jesus meet with people who were on the fringe, as it might be called, the tax collector and the sinner, and he met many of those and spent a lot of time with them, but people like Nicodemus, and how Nicodemus sought out Jesus. And he wasn't described in the Bible as one of those tax collectors and sinners. In fact, the Pharisees would be very happy for him to come to their home for a meal. And Nicodemus was a clever man. He was an educated man. He was part of the political establishment. He was also a religious man that understood the Bible. And as he watched what Jesus said and what Jesus did, he recognized that in Jesus, this was someone special. This was someone different. And so he goes to find Jesus and he has a conversation with him. And he says to the Lord Jesus, I know that you are a teacher that has come from God, because you do miracles and you speak words of authority, and people, and no one could do this unless God was with him. And he recognized that, and he wanted to strike up a conversation with Jesus, but he also wanted answers for his own life. And I sense that in the life of Nicodemus, there was a void, despite his status and position in society. There was something that he was still searching for. And Jesus recognized that. And so Jesus didn't discuss with him politics or religion or Jewish custom or Jewish law. He went and he said to him, Nicodemus, what you need is you need to be born again. And that was quite an astounding statement for Nicodemus to take on board. He hadn't heard anything like that ever before. And so he said to Jesus, how can a man of my age be born again? Are you suggesting, Jesus, that I enter for a second time into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, no, Nicodemus, you don't understand what I'm saying. Just as you have been born once into a human family, so must you be born a second time into the family of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What Jesus was telling him was simply this: if you want to be my friend, if you want to follow me, if you want to know God's forgiveness, you won't find it in politics, you won't find it in the religion of the synagogue and the temple. You will find it through coming to God in faith. And he said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, as you have been born once into a human family, so must you be born a second time into the family of God. And Nicodemus said, how is that possible? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You have been born naturally into your human family, so must you be born a second time supernaturally into the family of God. And when that happens, we become friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be a friend of the Lord Jesus? I'm sure you do. One of the things that mystifies me is that so few people in this world accept the salvation that Jesus has to offer. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be our Savior. He wants to walk with us through the journey of life. And yet people say, I don't want to. Isn't that sad? Nicodemus, we know, came to Jesus by faith. And we read, I think, three other instances of where he appears in the scriptures. And in the end, we read about him being with Joseph of Arimathea, begging for the body of Jesus so that they could bury it in Joseph's tomb and give the Lord an honorable burial. Jesus appealed to all kinds of people, and today he does the same. And when I think of this little church that we're part of, and some of you are here as visitors and we welcome you, isn't it wonderful that although we come from different backgrounds, and some of us might be more wealthy than others, and some more educated than others, and some of us are struggling at the moment in life and finding that there are too many challenges sometimes that we can cope with, the demands upon our life are so great. Yet, here is the message that Jesus, he wants to be our friend. It's a wonderful message. And I'm so pleased that I can go through life knowing that Jesus is my friend. And just recently, in the last 2 years, I've had to go through a couple of operations. And, you know, there's nothing that focuses the mind quite like having to face the surgeon's knife. But when you're lying there and you recognize that in Jesus you have a friend that you can speak to. And I've heard of others just recently who have been faced with challenges. And they have said to me, I don't know how I would have got through that without having Jesus as my friend. At a human level, there are different kinds of friendship. There are those friends that we rarely meet. We still call them friends. We might see them once a year. We might perhaps have a Christmas card from them at Christmas. And then there's the more casual friend that we see more often. We perhaps go for a coffee with them. We perhaps can exchange some family news with them when we meet up with them. And then there is a third kind of friend, a close friend. It's that friend that sticks with us, is there for us when we are feeling down, there when we need to celebrate something that has brought joy into our life, someone that we can trust, and someone who understands us, a close friend. And human friendship, as I have already said, is a wonderful thing, and in this church fellowship, we have lots of friends, and we're so glad of that. And where would we be without friends? But human friendship does have its limitations. It does have its limitations. Because even the best friend in the world can sometimes let us down. And sometimes, you know, our friendship might cool a little. And sometimes when we think we've got someone there that is close to us that we can turn to, they're just not there for that particular crisis in our life. But when it comes to our friendship with Jesus, he is always there. And his friendship never cools down. And those that put their faith and trust in him that we read about in the Gospels, like Matthew and Nicodemus, and there were many, many more, they found that Jesus never left them, nor would he ever forsake them, because that is the promise that he gave. And on one occasion when he looked at his disciples, he said, "You serve me," and that's wonderful, and those of us who are Christians want to serve the Lord. But he says, "I look upon you more than servants." He says, "I look upon you as friends." But of course, he then said, "But you must do the things that I ask you to do." Because in this friendship with the Lord Jesus comes responsibility. And one of the important things that he wants us to do if we are to be friends with the Lord Jesus is that we are to love one another and support one another as best we can. I read a nice little story last week of a little girl. Her name was Jenny. And she had a friend whose name was Millie, I think it was. And one day Jenny came home and her mother said to her, "Why are you looking so sad?" And she said, "Millie, her kitten died." And her mummy said, "What did you do?" She said, "Well," she said, "I tried to make her feel better." And her mother said to her, "Jenny, how did you make her feel better?" She said, "I cried with her." And I thought, what a lovely little story. And that's Jesus when we have his friendship. He walks through us, with us, through life. And when we're hurting, he hurts. And when we're going through joyful times, he rejoices with us. But he is always there. And he understands our needs more than any human friend can ever be expected to understand. And so, friendship with the Lord goes beyond human friendship. And the Lord Jesus is there all of the time, every day that we live. Some of you will remember a lady, Mary Clark. The reason I thought about her was just the other day I had a phone call from her daughter, Anne. Many years ago, maybe they still do it, I don't know, but in the Mound in Edinburgh, they had open-air services. And people would preach there, and others would come out of the pubs and from the theatres, and they would stand around, a little bit like Hyde Park Corner in London, and they would listen to these preachers preach a message of salvation. And Mary was going through a very messy divorce. Unbeknown to her, her husband was having an affair and he wanted to end the marriage. and she felt isolated. She went to a theatre to think that she might enjoy that so it would take her mind off her problems and difficulties. But it hadn't helped. And she was walking down Princes Street and she came to the mound. And there she described this man as a grubby looking gentleman, approached her. And he asked her why it was that she was looking so sad. And she says, I feel isolated. She says, I feel betrayed. I feel let down. I feel as if I don't have a friend in the world. And so that Christian gentleman, he began to share with her the love that Jesus had for her. And how if she trusted in him, he would become her friend in this life. And that she wouldn't have to travel the journey of life on her own, but she would have Jesus with her. And the Holy Spirit did a work of grace in her life, and there at the mound in Edinburgh, she came to know Jesus as Saviour and Lord. And if you met her afterwards, she would introduce herself as Mary, I'm a Christian, and Jesus is my friend. And one of the things that I remember, she had a lovely voice, trained voice. One of the songs she sang was this song. I found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twine those ties which naught can sever, for I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. I found a friend, oh such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul shall sever? Shall life or death? Shall earth or hell? No, I am his forever. And I remember her singing that at a SCEM meeting. And it again brought tears to my eyes. Because she sang it like she meant it. Because Jesus for her had become a reality. He had become her friend. If you're struggling in life and you're facing challenges and demands that you think are overwhelming you and you don't know Jesus, he wants to be your friend. Matthew trusted in the Lord Jesus and followed him and became one of the 12 disciples, those special group of men who followed Jesus. And friendship with the Lord Jesus is such a precious thing. But most of all, it's called grace. The wonder of it all is that Jesus, he wants to be our friend. He knows all about us, the worst about us, and yet he still wants to be our friend. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus, then ask him to be your friend, to come into your life and begin to follow him. And for those of us who are Christians, let us rejoice and be encouraged that we have such a wonderful friend as the Lord Jesus Christ. I picked this up on the internet and I finish with this. Jesus is my friend. I'm not shouting that I'm clean living. I'm whispering, I was lost, but now I'm found and forgiven. Jesus is my friend. I don't speak of this with arrogance. I'm confessing that at times I stumble and need the Lord Jesus to be at my side. Jesus is my friend. I'm professing that I need him because I'm weak. I need his strength to carry on. Jesus is my friend. I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are far too visible for all to see. But God believes I am of value and worth it. And Jesus is my friend. And I still feel the challenges of life, the pain. I still have my share of heartaches. But when these overtake me, Jesus is there for me to turn to for help. I'm not holier than anyone else. I'm just a simple sinner who has received Jesus, and he has become my friend. May God bless his word.